And welcome to the show. And on the show today, we've got Cecilia Evans. Cecilia, cheers for connecting.
Thank you.
Now, we're doing an audio show, people. It's just because of the connection between us two at the moment. But, Cecilia, do you want to just inform the people how you got into what you do, which is you cover a few areas. There's hypnotherapy and metaphysical teacher, shaman, quantum healer, energetic hypnotherapist, and you cover a lot of areas. How did you get into this?
In 2008, I started feeling energy, and I wasn't quite sure what it was about, so I just went to the internet, and I learned about Kundalini Awakening, and I was guided to start healing circles, and I wasn't really sure what it was about, but I listened, and many people came to practice various modalities of healing, and as I continued with that, I noticed that people spontaneously started channeling around me. So I was guided to start asking certain questions of them, speaking to their higher selves and their souls. And a few years after that, I was guided to stop my normal practice. I was my business that I was running and to start traveling. And I did that. I went to Sedona. And when I was in Sedona, some of the sessions that I was doing, information began coming through about hybrids. And information, you know, I would be doing a session with someone and they would say, by the way, tell C she's a hybrid. And I thought, this isn't about me. But that's how a lot of information came through, was communicating with other people's souls and higher selves. And at that point, in 2010, just on a deep knowing level, I knew I was pregnant. And I was beyond childbearing age at that time. So I realized I was pregnant with the hybrid. And therein started my fascination with the concept of hybridization and my excitement. Because during that pregnancy, I was able to feel the heartbeat and communicate with the hybrid. And I was aware of when it was going to be born and what its connection was to me. And, you know, at that time, this was all brand spanking new to me. I was not into, you know, prior to me feeling energy and starting to do healing circles, I didn't know anything about abduction and really anything about aliens. I was raised as Catholic. But that's what propelled me into this field. And from that point on, I just followed my excitement and joy. And it's led me to where I am today.
Do you understand or have you got any sort of knowledge on why you and why this is happening, not just to you, but you know, there's lots of women over the globe that are having experiences similar to yourself, and I've spoken to a lot myself, so it is going on out there. You know, women mysteriously, or you know, they're pregnant, they can remember being on crafts and kids and that sort of thing, you know. Do you have any information on how and why this is happening, you know, to yourself at least?
Yes, I do. And one of the things that I learned from doing so many regressions with people is that we do have free will. And the way it's described to me is we are making choices based on the predominant energies in our fields. So people may think I didn't consciously agree to do this, but free will embodies what's in your subconscious as well as what's in your conscious awareness. So from that vantage point, we're creating this. So if the predominant energy in one's field has a lot of victim energy or the concept of conspiracy theory, anger, betrayal, those type energies, they may create situations where they're connected with hybridization programs where they're the ultimate victims. But if they so choose, they can go into their subconscious and shift those frequencies and align more with the hybridization program that's service to others. So what I've learned is there are an infinite number of hybridization programs, and they go from one extreme, service to others, to the other extreme, service to self. There are some civilizations where many people may have heard of Atlantis. And many people have deep-rooted fears in their subconscious related to the experiments that took place there. And when I do sessions with people, a lot of the fear related to this program is from there. It's from cellular memory of being connected with the timeline where there was a lot of experimentation, and those hybrids were created for control and power. But at the same time, there are also timelines where we created hybrids, and it was done strictly from a space of unconditional love. And what I've learned over the past few years of, you know, co-creating and carrying many hybrids is that in some civilizations such as Lemuria, and even some civilizations that are here with us, interdimensional beings such as the Sasquatch, who I believe are our star brethren. Some people refer to them as Yeti or Bigfoot, but they create hybrids in a way that's from the heart space. They connect with the souls before conception. And this is how we did in Lemuria, many of us. And to populate other universes, we will often connect with the souls before conception, agree after we determine what are the goals that soul wants to accomplish, and what do we want to accomplish by bringing a soul into the realm that we're physically in. And when it's done that way, it's a totally different experience. It's a union between us and the cosmos, and it's all about unconditional love and bringing forth that wisdom from the cosmos that we all have access to. But humanity is used to co-creating in a fashion where when we conceive and procreate, we're conceiving mainly from our lower chakras, and we're conceiving from a space that's limited as far as the concept of love is concerned. So there are hybridization programs that I think many, many of us are at a level now vibrationally that we can co-create similarly to the way that we did in Lemuria and the way that some of the interdimensional beings that we cohabitate this planet with, like the Sasquatch and the Bigfoots. So several of the hybrids that I've had most recently, I agreed to have consciously before they were conceived. And I was aware throughout the entire pregnancy, I was aware when they were born. And there are other women that I'm connecting with around the world that are having similar experiences. So the concept of fear and victim energy, those energies are not a part of this process at all. But it is a choice that we're being given. You know, there are many that are creating from a space of fear, and what they're going to create is going to be fear-based. But that can change if it's their choice. There are many ways that we can go into our fields and shift our frequencies and let go of beliefs that we can be victims, or creating with anger and creating with a lot of the old beliefs, old patterns that just don't serve us anymore.
So with what's happened lately for yourself, having hybrids, have you interacted with them at all? Do you understand what their, you know, I guess their motives are, the beings that are working with you to do these? Like, they're obviously, they're in service mode, are they?
I would say that there's an infinite number of hybridization programs, and dependent upon the race of the beings, what universe they're from, there are a variety of agendas, a variety of purposes, and there's not just one. Many people are familiar with the gray from Zeta Reticuli and that hybridization program, but that's only one. That's one of many. And even within that program itself, you have many people that are connecting with the Yahya Tassanis from the heart space, strictly from, you know, a place of unconditional love. And you have many others connecting with that same hybridization program from a place of total fear. And when they're coming from that space, their creations are going to reflect that. So some of the hybrids that I've connected with most recently myself, They're connected to Sirius, Arcturus. They're dolphins. I've had dolphin hybrids. I've had reptilian hybrids. They're you know, the list goes on and on. But I just would like to let people know that we do have choices in this, and that there are many people, many women, it's mainly women, and it's not that men aren't capable of participating as much as women in an equal fashion, but our society relegates the process of child rearing and childbearing to the female. But universally, that's not the case. It's 50-50. It's you know, and really we're coming from a place of being androgynous at this level. So, I'm sorry, Max.
With that said, so you talked about the Bigfoot before, and do you have hybrids that are, I guess, half human, half Bigfoot?
I would say the last hybrid that I had was connected to the star elders that are connected to what we refer to as Bigfoot. Yeah. There was part of their DNA was involved, but there were also, there was feline and also some type of blue being, but I'm not sure what the origin is. I do have a photo of that hybrid on my webpage if people are interested in seeing it. But before the conception took place, I was approached and I recognized the soul signature of that being and I agreed to carry it. And there were certain things that I was going to be taught, certain things that they were going to assist me with, which has occurred. And I would just like for women to know that, you know, this can be an incredibly beautiful, uplifting experience for those that are ready to embrace this concept of hybridization in this fashion. It's generally spoken of, as I said, you know, in a fear-based way, but that's one frequency. I would just like for people to know that there are other frequencies that we can use to access more of our true essence. And that's what these children are allowing us to do. I call them a rainbow bridge, because carrying them shifts your frequency. Having them in my field, when I first became aware that I was carrying one, it was because I noticed a change in my energy field. It was higher, something had happened. And then I just started, you know, having little hits, knowing that I was carrying a hybrid. So there are a lot of advantages for people who are interested in pursuing this, but it is a choice. You know, I think that we choose themes, you know, along our path. This is just something that brings me great joy. So, you know, so I'm happy to follow along in this journey with them. It is not for everybody, but I do believe that there are a lot of women out there that would like to know their hybrids and that would like to co-create with them in such a fashion that it's a win-win situation for both.
So with this said, from your understanding too, is this multi-layered in terms of not just is there a multi-dimensional aspect, and some of this could be done on an astral level, but with the body computer, the human body, but also physical? Is that sort of your understanding, that it's multi-layered and multiple ways this is done with the hybrid type programs? And like you said, there's so many different types of races doing this. It's not just one motive or one race behind it, but is your understanding it's done on multiple levels?
It is my understanding that it's done on multiple levels. And what connecting with the hybrids has really helped me to do is to step more into that part of the multidimensional aspects of myself. Connecting with them in this fashion, I've learned so much about time and space. The hybrids are presenting often as babies, but the reality is they're capable of presenting at any age. We're just comfortable. Many of us were comfortable at first with the concept of a baby. It seems less threatening and whatnot. Yes. And we have this concept here when we're raising our young that they start off small and they grow because we're thinking in terms of linear time. But what they have taught me is that they don't, they're ageless. They connect us to that part of our soul that is timeless. It's outside of linear time, but that's a progression. But as I, you know, evolve with them, that's what they've opened me up to. The last hybrid that I had never presented to me as a child. It always presented as an adult, because when you think in terms of us being multidimensional and all things being now, and think in terms of quantum physics, that aspect of her that's an adult already exists. Everything is already here. So we're able to connect with this wisdom. They're not, you know, young children that don't know anything that we have to teach. They're very wise because they're connected to more of their soul essence than we are in physical form, because their vibration is so much higher than ours.
Definitely, it's that multidimensional aspect where humans tend to think linear, and that's what I was told before by some of the beings, is that I tend to think linear, and it's, you know,
yes,
when you connect with your multidimensional mind, this is where, you know, there is no time. There is just other vibrations and beings and things existing all at the same time, and all is happening, like you said. So this is where I totally get what you're saying about, you know, them being able to present themselves as adults, because time's, you know, just an illusion. They understand that because they're using their multidimensional mind.
They are. But at the same time, they can present in any fashion. But that pure innocence, that joy is there no matter what age. With all of them that I've connected with, it really didn't matter. Some of them presented, you know, very old and wise, and others, you know, in a childlike, playful fashion. But along with that childlike innocence, there's this wisdom that's there, this unconditional love that just accepts us where we are, just allow us to be without judgment. And that's something that's really unique when you're able to start connecting with them. And many people say that they communicate telepathically, but I found that it's not telepathic. They're not communicating mind to mind. They're communicating with heart empathy. They're communicating in a fashion that they can communicate with your soul without words. And I'm sure with experiences, if you've had, Pete, you've had that happen to you where you just receive throughout your whole being. And that's what they do. They're able to assist us in connecting on a much deeper level with our own heart spaces.
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. Definitely. And it when you say heart space, that's exactly how this works, is speaking and communicating from the heart. And the kids do that as well. It's, you know, say it's just a give take thing, but there's no sort of motive behind it. It's just that connection. If you're coming from the heart, you're going to receive by the heart from what you're communicating with as well.
Yes. And so as we make the choice whether or not we want to open ourselves up to co-creating with these beings, we are given, you know, I just want people to know they have a permission slip to open fully to this, to let go of what anybody else thinks about it. And if you want to, you know, seek a deeper opening in your heart center. And, you know, from what I found, I mean, when you do this, you connect with more of yourself. You connect with source on a deeper level. That's what this is about. That's what our journey is about. So, you know, it's another tool, you know, and there are many tools that we use. This is just one that can be so much fun. And on a deep level, we've all participated in this. Everybody that's here is a hybrid. Everybody, all of, you know, all earthlings are star children.
Well, it does come down to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And deep down within us, that knowing is there. If we just peel back the layers of fear and betrayal and all the other energies that we've created with, and, you know, and it's not a judgment thing. It's, you know, it's up to the individual if they want to, you know, embrace this or not. But having embraced it, this has been my experience, that it has really been transformational. And the group that I've started, called Hybrids Rainbow Bridge on Facebook, there are many other women all over the world that are having these same amazing experiences by deciding to not ignore the fear, but if the fear comes up, to own it, to go within themselves and see what is the origin of this. And as you look at that and heal that, you open your heart more. So it's an opportunity for us. It's been an opportunity for us because you don't think about hybridization and automatically you're in your heart space. I mean, everybody, I think, starts off with some fear someplace. But as you own that and recognize it, it's just a mirror showing you something within your own field to be looked at. It's an opportunity for so much growth and expansion spiritually.
How many hybrid kids do you know of that you have?
You know, a couple people have told me that I have over 50 that I'm aware of. That I've actually connected with, I'd say about 10. But then, you know, there are some that I am aware of, but I was also aware that their mission was elsewhere. They weren't going to really be so much connected with me. A part of what they really wanted to do was to experience 3D through me during that 3 or 4 month period. And then they're off in the universe someplace else.
Yeah. So I've heard a lot of cases like this where there's traits and the experience, you know, they need that before they go elsewhere. It's like they've got to have the human experience on some vibration. You know, they don't have to have it fully, but being here in this vibration, they can gain traits and experience that they wouldn't any other way. And for some reason, it's what they need.
It's what they need, or what we chose to co-create together.
Yeah.
And I remember the first one that I carried, the first hybrid that I was aware of, I was also aware that someone else was carrying its twin, I was told. So there was some connection between them. And we were both in Sedona at the same time. And we were told, you know, it would be optimal if we didn't leave Sedona before the gestation period was over for these twins. But the young lady who was carrying the other hybrid, we were told they got to experience grief and to learn to understand it because it was not something that they were used to. And this particular lady was in Sedona because her father was in hospice and she was overseeing his care. And so they were able to experience that with her. And I thought that was pretty interesting because we think of emotions in terms of good or bad. That's not the way it is from the soul perspective. They're just emotions. They're neutral. So there are so many things that we think are our experiences about and we judge it and label it. But for a lot of these beings, that's not the case. They are ecstatic to be connecting with us and to be able to experience their dimension. It's unusual.
With us, would you say that not all, maybe all, I don't know, that's why I'm asking this question, would you say that what you're connecting with, like the races behind, you know, which these children are a part of, as well as, you know, having the human experience, have you tended to find out that you've been, or there's another facet of you coexisting at the same time as one of these different races?
I would say for some of them, absolutely. Some of them, I recognize them as being a part of me. And I'll share something that several of the women in the group have also experienced in the Rainbow group. I saw a picture of a young lady online, and I knew that she was my daughter. I just knew intuitively, and I contacted her. I sent her a message, and sent her my picture and I said, does this mean anything to you? And she contacted me right away. She was at a party in Taiwan and she left the party to connect with me because she said she recognized me. And this young lady called herself a hybrid. She knew she was a hybrid. She's on the other side of the world, Pete. I had never met her before. I had just seen a picture of her. And I knew somehow or other, she carried some of my DNA.
That's true. That's trippy. And do you guys stay in communication still?
We do not. I know how to reach her, but we do not stay in communication. But I have met other people. I met a young gentleman who has met his daughter. She lived in Japan. They met on a hike in Sedona, and they both knew who and what they were. And they stayed in touch for a while. But some of the women in the group, I don't know their full stories, but they have shared experiences where they knew that others carried their DNA.
Amazing stuff. What's some of the perceptions that people have on hybrids and that you would like to address, or that people might have said to you that just, you know, isn't true from your understanding?
Well, you know, I would say that everybody's truth is really subject to the predominant vibration in their field. I think those individuals who are fraught with fear, who have a lot of victim energy in their field, in their subconscious, may not be in the conscious, but the overall vibration is one of victim energy and fear. They will have the overall belief system, and they may have experiences where their hybrids are victims or their victims, because that's the frequency they're co-creating on. So I think people think things are set in stone, and that's not the case. There isn't anything that you can't change. There's only the now. There's no event that happened in 1977 on June 1st that you cannot rewrite. There's only this energy right now that you're creating with. And only if you give it that belief that it has to stay there, structured in that fashion, does it have to. That's a very limiting belief that many of us have.
So it's, you know, a similar thing I understand too, is that, you know, we can change anything we want, but we've got to deal with the here and now. And it's all about, I guess, how we perceive the experience. If we see it as a negative thing, we can get that from that. And if we see it as something else, we can get that too.
Yes, but I want people to know that they can change. If they're having fear-based experiences and they want to change that, they can change it by finding a way to go within their own subconscious and shift, whether it's the beliefs, the emotions, whatever is there that is allowing them to create things that they choose not to, they can change it. And I say this from experience, because I've regressed people who are in extreme fear, having, you know, visits from reptilians every night that were doing, you know, all kinds of unspeakable things to them. But then when they went in and shifted the frequency of the victim energy and understood how they created it from the soul perspective, immediately they had different types of experiences. It's all about vibration.
Yeah. Have you had any interactions or, you know, whether government or those not in line with yourself trying to stop you doing what you're doing?
I have not, but I have also gone into my own field and shifted a lot of energy where I had conspiracy theory and fear of the government and those things, and changed it around. So I don't have that. I say whatever I want. I lecture on whatever I want, wherever I want. I haven't had that problem.
With that said, what's sort of been some of the stuff that with the beings you're interacting with, do you know any of, you know, their true natures, what their motives are? Like, for example, with Bigfoot, do you know anything about them on another level, like where they're from? I know there's many different types and, you know, many different races, and some are from here and there and everywhere, but sort of what's your understanding with the ones you're interacting with?
I've interacted a lot with various tribes of Bigfoot. And my understanding is, you know, on many levels, they're very tribal. You know, they're cliquish and they have clans almost. I had aspects of myself, this is the now, right? So you can have a bleed over energetically. So other aspects of me that are experiencing being Bigfoot, if you will, they were creating with energies of very clannish and not wanting me to connect with other clans. And I saw in my creations, in my world, where things were occurring, and I thought, okay, this is not what I want to create with. And I went in and connected with that energy and rewrote it, because to me, we're all one. But I had to go in and work with that aspect of myself. That's the shaman part of me. I go in and I work with soul aspects, and you can shift the frequency or shift their belief system to allow you to be able to create whatever it is that you're really wanting to, without having their frequency override yours. So the ones that I connect with, I would say now is more the star elders that co-create with them. And they, the ones that I connect with, seem to be connected to Sirius. But they, I mean, I found them to be, you know, very loving, very family oriented. They know quite a bit about dematerializing and materializing, which is something that they're working on with me. So my experience with them is one that has evolved. It wasn't always, you know, everything wasn't always as I would have liked it, because, like I said, there were other aspects of me that were in that form that were creating with emotions that I chose not to. So that got rewritten. So my experiences with them now are different.
Have they, like any of the beings, talked to you about human emotion?
Yes. And that it's a choice how we choose, which emotions we choose to create with. But essentially, energy is neutral. That's what I'm always being guided to remember, that it's my choice how I'm going to react. If someone cuts me off in traffic, I get to choose. Am I going to get angry? I'm going to want that energy in my field that I'm going to continue to create with. And I've been shown clearly what it's like if I choose to use anger, how it goes outward, how it affects everyone around me, not just me. It's so, for me, I really don't care what happens. I'm going to stop and go into my heart space. And it's our choice if we're going to judge one and say they did something wrong, they wronged us in some fashion, or we're going to just see it as a neutral thing and not take it personal. It is our choice. But when I see, when I don't see it very often anymore, but I used to, because I used to have a lot of repressed anger. And when I would see people around me get very angry or express that at me, I would immediately go into meditation, or, you know, go get together some friends and say, let's go on the subconscious here and see, where is this repressed anger coming from? What timeline is it? Is it this one? Is it another one? And rewrite it, because we have so much more control over our creations than we think. We just forgot what the rules were. We forgot that we are vibrational beings, and that there is absolutely nothing that's out of our control. We are not victims ever, unless we choose to play with that energy unknowingly.
It's time to reconnect, I guess, you know, with our help. It's time to reconnect, I guess, you know, with our higher selves and just take the power back, you know, and take, you know, self-responsibility, which is a lot of, you know, a lot of people want to, you know, project their stuff on other people or put the blame elsewhere, but it really lies within.
It all lies within, but it's very difficult. I mean, I have to say, for even me, I mean, I create things now and I look at it and I say, oh gosh, where's that coming from? And it's not the easiest thing to go into your own subconscious, because we have things stored in cellular memory as trauma. It's stored, it's buried, you put walls around it for a reason, because, you know, you really didn't want to experience it, you know, it's at the deepest level. And it's difficult sometimes without assistance to access it. And our subconscious is actually a higher frequency than the conscious. So you have to almost be in an altered state, or, you know, have guidance of someone, or go into a deep meditative state to be able to access some of these root causes of creating things that we really choose not to. especially when you think about abduction type experiences. I mean, that's something that I've done a lot of regressions with abductees, and it's so difficult because the fear is so great, that fear is stored in the cellular memory. And as soon as you try to access it, I mean, the anxiety and the symptoms are almost insurmountable unless you can do it in a slightly altered state where someone is able to just put you in the field of love, where you're able to connect with your soul and understand how it was created, be in a more neutral space, you can let it go. But it is possible, really, to create the heaven on earth that we're all entitled to. It's just, again, remembering what the rules are and how to work with the energy.
What are the beings saying about what's going on here at this time for yourself? Like, with the ones you're experiencing, you know, you're talking to, you're communicating with them that you're a part of. Are they saying anything about what's going on here at the moment? Of course, you know, there's huge shifts going on. There's a lot of cleanup going on. But what have, you know, they said to you?
I don't really seek information that has to do with global consciousness, because I think everything is within me. And as I shift what's within myself, I shift what's on the outside. Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't give energy to, you know, all the catastrophe theories, and that I just tend, I've learned, you know, when I focus on that, then that's what I'm going to have in my field. So I stay focused on, you know, unconditional love, and I can view what's going on around me from my heart space without judgment, and have compassion as opposed to, you know, judging and dropping my vibration. If I'm going to stay in my heart space, then I'm holding a space where others can go into their heart space with it.
Yeah, so I guess it's just the way, you know, each person comes at it differently, how they've got to, and with their, I guess, their programming and what they've experienced. Like, we've got epigenetics as well, so the human body computer does affect on how we deal with things, like you were saying before, with, you know, the fear thing. We put a barrier up around these things, and, you know, everyone's got a little piece of what's going on here. But the hybrid thing's been, you know, something that's always been going on, and not many people are addressing it. How's that been for you to address this? Have you put up with much backlash from others in, I guess, the UFO community?
You know, I have not. The group that I started, Hybrid Rainbow Bridge, is for women like myself. So we're coming together, we're finding each other, and we're wanting to stay in the heart space no matter what, whether it's with the hybrids or with this, you know, any of our other creations. So that's the energy that is propagated outwards from us. So I'm not receiving that. And I think the more we step into our own power with this, we will create less with that frequency of expecting that. So I think we'll be allowing ourselves and giving ourselves permission to just stay in this frequency and to create with it. And we begin to expect that that's what's going to come back at us. As I let go of my own fear about hybridization and abduction and all of those kinds of things, I don't even consider myself an abductee. I mean, I started a group, I still have one on Facebook, you know, called Alien Abduction and Contactee, but I don't resonate with those terms anymore, because I realize, you know, I was playing a role, I'm playing a different role now, and I'm a totally different being. So I don't attract that. People are very open when I speak about it.
Are you finding more of a demand, I guess, like more people seeking someone to talk to or for help with what's going on with them in terms of, you know, having hybrid experiences and, you know, I guess first appearing, you know, having abduction experiences?
Yes. I think that there are a lot of people that are wanting now to look at it through a different filter. You know, many years ago when this first became mainstream. You know, we had Dr. Mack and we had Dr. Jacobs and you had Carla Turner. And, you know, the choices out there were limited. It was fear versus fear. That's pretty much it. And then you had Dr. Mack, who was, you know, helping people to see that, you know, maybe there's a spiritual component to this. You know, let's take this from a neutral vantage point, not really put in any box because it didn't seem to fit. Yeah. But now we're giving ourselves more options. I think our consciousness is changing. And there are many people now that are wanting to see it through a different perspective. And so I think that's where now the avenue is there for me to be able to share with people what my experiences are. And that's all I can do. You know, these are my experiences. They're not for everyone. But there are some that I think might be ready to now say, I want to know how to do that. And there are a lot of hybrid children, star children, that are looking for parents. And that's something that, you know, I'd like to speak a little bit about, actually, that they're out there. Yeah. And there are many women like myself who, you know, are starting to remember, we did this before. There are even parents who are not into the, you know, the abduction type thing, who are starting to remember that they can connect in meditation with the soul of a child before conception and choose it and bring it forth. We don't even have to just experience this through the concept of children that will be living off planet. We can use this same concept to birth children from the heart space here. It's just, you know, it's just a different frequency when you think about it, Pete, what I'm talking about versus, you know, someone going on the ship and they're taken against their will. And, you know, yeah. Those energies, our energies are the predominant energies in their field, but they can change. I've changed. I had those same energies. This didn't start off for me all warm and fuzzy and me not be aware that I had a lot of experiences as a child. I had a lot of experiences as an adolescent that weren't warm and they weren't programmed into my cellular memory as warm and fuzzy, but I've gone in because I understood that was my creation. Those were the energies that I was putting out there that allowed me to attract and create that. So I rewrote them.
And this is, you know, it seems to be common with a lot of people. They start to have the fear, or not just fear, that with their experiences when they start, they don't have reference for it. And the way that, you know, we can react, being humans, having the human experience, when you're having a multidimensional experience, you don't have reference a lot of the time, though we know this on another level, because we're told that this doesn't exist, this isn't real. How's this, you know, you're just going over lightly the start of this. You know, this had to have taken its toll in some ways for you to deal with at certain points, because, you know, it's not like you can just tell your parents or anyone about what you're experiencing, because you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll say you're nuts.
Well, it's interesting because I guess I've always been open with it. I have my family's all on my Facebook page, and I have a support group for Alien Abduction and Contactee Support Group, and I have this new group called Hybrids Rainbow Bridge. So I'm out there with it. You know, they may not have personal conversations with me because I don't think they would know where to start, most of them. But those that want to, you know, approach me with it, I'm more than willing to share it, but I am out there with it. I don't feel a need to preach on it. I mean, these are my experiences. And, you know, this is my truth, and I don't try to push it on others. But if someone, you know, is saying, I want to let go of the fear, you know, I want to know how to meet with my hybrids, you know, I want to connect with them, then, you know, I'm more than willing to help them and to share everything that I already know, you know, the things that I've experienced and what's worked for me. But I definitely don't preach about it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a turn off when that happens.
Well, but, you know, I think this is my journey. Yeah. You know, people are always saying, well, can you have asked me often, you know, can you prove that, you know, you had this or you. I've had a lot of experiences outside of linear time, walking into other dimensions. And people will say, well, did you take a picture or did you get proof? And I'm like, I didn't need proof. This is for me. This is my truth. This is my reality, which I created. I don't have to have tangible evidence for someone else. And sometimes just seeking tangible evidence takes you out of your heart space. You're in a totally different vibration when you're trying to force it through a 3D filter. I don't try to do that anymore.
You know, this is where it's different for everyone. And, you know, each person's got their own truth. And how the experience happened, you know, happens for people is different as well. You know, some have got more physical stuff than others and some don't. And some are able to get photos or videos and some aren't. And, you know, like you say, when you worry too much, it's even when I get footage of crafts and things like that. But it happens when you least expect it. I put the intention out, but, you know, if you go out of heart space and you're not doing anything for the right reason, you're just not going to get anything. And, you know, again, you'll interact that which you were in line with. So, you know, when if you go out of heart space, you know, a lot of things can change.
But you have to follow what brings you joy too, Pete. And I think it brings you a lot of joy to connect with the craft and to take the photos and to show other people and help them to connect. You know what I mean? Everybody's journey is unique. And so, you know, like I said, this is just my journey. And for me, that's just not the path that I'm on. I'm here holding a different space. And I want people to, you know, that are having their experiences that may be quite different than mine, I see theirs as just as valid.
Yeah.
That's what they're creating. I honor that.
Well, this is why I don't throw everything out. And, you know, there's been times I've thrown stories out or whatever, and I've learned to put a lot of things in the grey basket because I know how far out my experiences have been that I don't expect anyone to believe it. But, you know, sometimes you come across something that connects with the story that you wanted to throw out and you're like, darn, you know, this connects, this makes sense now. And it happens to a lot of experiences I've spoken to. So this is where we've just got to, you know, work together, I guess, and just, you know, put things on the back burner sometimes in our mind. Sometimes we're not ready for something.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you say, you know, this about proof, because people always ask me for proof of things, and I'll always say the same thing. You know, this is my reality. You know, yours is different. This is mine. And I ran across actual spaceship debris and some material, crystals and things that were activated by mermaids and hybrids. And mermaids are hybrids. I don't know if people realize that, but they are hybrids, just like, you know, the upright dolphins that they saw in the Dogon tribe saw, and many other ancient civilizations have done pictorial drawings of. They were hybrids. But I received actual physical evidence. And I mean, it blew me away because I thought, I'm the one that's not looking for this. So here it falls into my lap. And I am going to at some point distribute it, you know, actually, when I settle it down enough to create a little store for it. But I actually have spaceship debris, metal from a spaceship that came through a wormhole, and some Atlantean glass, which was actually formed from some type of high power weaponry that we don't have here. And it's actual physical stuff that's here that is in this reality that's connected to, again, you know, and the gold glass, from what I understood, both the mermaid glass and the Atlantean glass, and there's also a Mu glass from Lemuria, is to help people to return to their heart space in reference to the hybrids. Because as I said, there's such deep-rooted fear in much of our cellular memory in humanity from a timeline where we abused our power with hybridization. And we were creating beings.
Well.
Yeah, oh, in Atlantis, we were creating monsters. Mm. Yes, it was going on. And we were not creating from the heart space. We were creating beings so that we could control them. We were creating them for power and greed. And that was the intent. It was service to self. And many of us, a lot of the fear that we have of hybrids comes from that space. So there's actually were things left here to help us with that, because again, I think many people are wanting to let go of that and to be able to embrace this concept from a different perspective.
Now, we've got about 10 minutes to go. What would you like to go into before we wrap up? Now, you've got a website, there's the Facebook pages as well, which there's going to be a link underneath the video, and where people get this audio, there's a link to the web, your website as well.
But okay.
What would you like to cover before we wrap it up in the next 10 minutes?
Well, there are two things, and one would be how people always ask, how can they connect with their hybrids? And then I'd like to read The Oracle of the Star Children, which is done by an incredibly beautiful soul named Maureen from Second Valley, Australia. I'll read something that she wrote for the hybrid group. But when people ask how to connect with their hybrids, I always tell them, you know, the one thing is to follow your highest excitement, and anything that one can do to go into their heart space is going to be helpful if you want to connect with the ones that are service to others. And they can drum, sing, chant, dance, meditate. In the group, we all created grids and set our intents with the grids to connect with our hybrids. Join groups such as the one that I spoke about, the Hybrids Rainbow Bridge. So there are other like-minded souls that you can go to for support. Blessing our food and water, which is good in general anyway, but when you raise the frequency of what you're putting into your body, you raise the frequency of your body. Be out in nature as much as possible. Use flower essences if you're so inclined. That's another way to connect with the hybrids. And drawing them. I have found some incredible artists that have drawn mine, which you can see on my webpage that I have depictions of my several of my hybrids. That helped me to connect with them. But even if you just take a pencil and paper, many women have come to me and said, you know, they did that. And even though it looked like a child just drawing, they felt so much love and energy as they were attempting to do. So those are both valid ways, whether you get a professional drawing done or you do it on your own. Ask them to show up in their dreams. That's one way that's easy for them to connect with us, because it's like when we're in an altered state. So when you're meditating or just before you go to bed, ask them to show up. I actually have done rebirthing celebrations with the women in the group, where we came together, meditated, and we released anything from the lower chakras that didn't serve us, and then rebirth our children, whether it's hybrids or our earthly children, from our heart space. And that seems to be something that opens the channels for people to be able to connect on a deeper level with their hybrids. I do sessions. If people want to connect with their hybrids, they can, you know, have a regression session, and you can include four or five things in there. It can be, you know, things about health, wealth, it doesn't matter, and connecting with your hybrids. I also know people that do, they channel light language. Often people are channeling the hybrids when they're speaking light language. And I do know of some, if anyone is interested in that, they can connect with me. And I do know someone that's very good at connecting with the hybrids through light language. Connecting with the crop circles is another good way to connect with them. A lot of the hybrids are involved in creating some of the crop circles, not all, but some. So connecting with the crop circle energy is another wonderful way. And do you have anything else you want to ask before I read The Oracle of the Star Children,
no,
Pete?
No, I'm going to that, though.
Okay.
I'm this, yeah.
Okay, The Oracle of the Star Children. To all who gestate, birth, and nurture the Star Children are both your parents and offspring, here to serve, guide, comfort, and teach, as well as be protected and nurtured by you. They ride the rainbow bridge from earth to sky, uniting above and below, splitting the white radiance of eternity into its many colors, and reuniting them as a continuous wave energy spectrum, the marriage of infrared matter and ultraviolet spirit, which we all are. As for your unique child, he or she will weave, sing, and dance the rainbow in all the spaces and times between human and divine. She will teach others to love and know the living cosmos that is both within and around them as the womb and tomb of creation and rebirth. She will inspire and uplift whoever seeks to be raised into their own likeness, freedom, truth, and completion. She will enable those who seek with open hearts and childlike innocence to know the light that illuminates the divine darkness, just as the stars enlighten the maternal dark of the serene space between them. She is as old as time and as young as the emerging butterfly. She is the counter-spiraling dance of God and goddess that begets and receives the eternal child, the father-mother of a higher consciousness that is birthed in the bright abyss. She speaks only from the cosmic depth of soul and not only with words, for your child's truth is the known unknown, the sacred mystery that sustains the dance of the heavens and the marriage of death and life that is eternally warmed by the sacred fire. She is the sky beneath the earth and the seas beyond the clouds, whose breath is the coolness of sacred flame that ignites a myriad burning suns. She is the simplicity and purity of a humble child who treads lightly with wonderment and without fear. When they gaze into your child's eyes, those who love and are true to their path will see themselves mirrored as beautiful and complete in the fullness of being that is the gift of a life lived with integrity, empathy, and kindness to all, for we are all born from the ecstatic death of stars. The star children love you for who you are and for all you may become, for both phases of the journey are perfect in their unending cycle of rest and change. The laughter the star children inspire is the recognition by your own soul of its true nature, joy, playfulness, and lightness of being, which is the remembering of an original and the vision of a future innocence. They watch from the mountain your wandering in the valley of soul making, which is the metamorphosis of suffering to compassion, detachment, humor, and wisdom. All the cosmic children move within their stillness. They seek to own nothing, yet they have everything. All the star children are one family, each unique facet of the cosmic soul, the unitary ground of being in which all time and all dimensions of being converge to a sacred singularity, the central point from which all arises and to which all returns. Love, know, and enjoy your child, and so come to better know and love yourself. Receive your child's wisdom and love, and within that communion, know the common union that embraces all being as one. The circle makers image the consciousness of the star children, which is intuitive, symbolic, holistic, and grounded in the universal patterns and forms of cyclic energy that underlie all reality. The star seeders watch over you and surround you always, in all times and places, and in spaces between the worlds, the gateways through which the children may guide you to safe havens and to places of learning, adventure, and rebirth in the cosmos that is our sacred home. This was written again by Maureen Roberts, and it is going to be part of a book that I cannot wait to come out, wait for it to come out.
Awesome. No, thank you for sharing that.
So there are, as I said, many children out there. And in the group, we have descriptions of some children that have been channeled that are wanting parents. They're seeking parents. Mm-hmm. And they tell where they're from, and they tell some of their attributes, what it is that they'd like to work with their star seeder parents on. And one other thing that I'd like to share again is that this is not something that's for women. As I said, you know, women have navigated to it because of our society, you know, places us in that childbearing role. But, you know, there are many men out there who know that they have hybrids and are starting to connect with them just like we are. But these children are, they may reference themselves as a male or female. I think that sometimes for us, but the energy that I feel coming from them is mainly androgynous.
Yeah. No, this definitely, you know, getting more and more traction, like more and more people are either researching this, looking into this, or realizing there's something to this. And yeah, there's, you know, I know men out there, including myself, that have you know, got a connection with their hybrid. So, you know, it's, sounds out there to some, but like, you know, like we've talked about, it's each to their own reality, and you know, it is what it is. You know, this is something where we, you know, we can't deny our experiences, and we can't make people believe what, you know, we're experiencing either. And this is where I don't want to push anything on anybody, and I don't want them to push that stuff on me. But you know, this, it's being looked at more, and I think in a different way than it ever has been as well, the hybrid reality. So look, we'll wrap it up there, Cecilia, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. And I'd also like to say that anybody, you know, that's listening to this radio show or this tape, I'd be willing to give them 33% off of a session. So if they want to have a, you know, a shamanic regression session, which, you know, it really encompasses anything, whatever you want. It doesn't matter whether you want to meet your hybrids, you want to meet your galactic parents, or just understand why you can't make your bills meet. Your soul knows everything about you. You know, the root causes of all of your illnesses. And I can honestly say I would not be in my heart space as much as I am if I had not gone into my own subconscious and just let go of a lot of things that weren't serving me anymore. So I'd like to offer that to others.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, and we'll stay in chat and have an awesome, what is it, afternoon there, I think?
It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete.
Stay in touch.
I will. Namaste.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.